Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
And welcome to the Anzac Day edition of this extraordinary gardening Q&A hour with Sabrina Hahn.
Hello, Amber.
You have secrets. We've been talking, just to reset, because this will be for the podcasts earlier on the show, we had a story of a woman who went searching for her great-grandmother, who was a foundling, placed in a foundling institution in Italy in 1898. And I asked if you had secrets out there, and I've told you mine, which was my dad stole hubcaps when he was in the Air Force and he got discharged dishonourably. And Sabrina has come in here fair bursting with the Hahn family dirt.
Yeah.
How appropriate.
More the Stewart. My grandmother.
Your mum's side.
So, my mother's dead and my grandmother, of course, is well and truly dead. So I can tell the story. So my grandmother, Jessie Hope Stewart, was a bit of a rebel for her day. People will be surprised to hear that that's in the family line. she married a very wealthy Scotsman, and he was in the diplomatic corps. So she got to travel all around the world, and she was a very strong-willed young woman.
I feel like you're being euphemistic here. What do you really mean by that?
No. She was. And she was a great adventurer and loved travel and was fearless. Shoved her children into various boarding schools in Europe. Wasn't much of a hands-on mother, I have to say, but she loved adventure and exploring and going around to unknown lands. So when Mum died, we started going through all the family tree and stuff, and we noticed that my Nan wasn't on any of the family tree. So
Jessie.
Yeah, Jessie Hope Stewart disappeared off the the family tree. Didn't exist on
why?
It. Well, then we started researching why. So apparently my grandmother, a woman of adventure, would just take off on various things, go to Africa, anyway. She decided that it would be lovely because she originally came from Melbourne. It would be lovely to go on an adventurous trip up to the top of the Northern Territory and WA on a cattle ship that was taking. And then we found out the reason for this trip was she was having an affair with the captain. Now, she was already married with two children, and then she just took off. And, of course, in those days, if you're on a ship up in the middle of nowhere, no one can get hold of you. So when a little while after they found her and she came back they were living in Poland, she was pregnant. So obviously the family did the maths, and he was quite a prominent diplomat, her husband, Charles Stewart. So it was a great shame on the entire entire family.
What happened to that baby?
That's my mum.
I love this so much.
So, so Jocelyn.
Jocelyn. And you named one of your children after Jessie.
Yeah, Jessie Hope Stewart. She was a cracker. They also found out that because her husband was in the diplomatic corps and they got caught up during the war, but she knew Mussolini. So there's a photo of my Nan, sitting down having a cup of tea, if you don't mind, with Mussolini. She just went. She got caught in the forest during the war. She had to escape out of that. Oh, so many stories
How
about Jessie Hope Stewart.
Astonishing that an ancestor of yours could not be contained. Sandy in Dianella. Sandy.
I'm caught up with this story, and I'm starting to remember a story I heard Sabrina tell ages ago about how she met her partner at the tip. I'm thinking, wow, she's taken up for a grandma.
I have indeed. And I tell you what, people would not believe that story because I said there were seagulls at the Kalgoorlie tip. And everyone went, you can't get seagulls that far inland. I said they were there when my true love whipped up. He made a cup of tea for me, boiled the billy and gave me a tin of asparagus. It was so romantic.
Was he on a motorbike? Is that how I remember it?
No, it was me on the motorbike.
Oh, right.
He was
okay.
In a ute.
I knew there was a motorbike in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you're a crack-up, girl. You're a crack-up.
Well, I try.
She's a national treasure, isn't she, Sandy?
Absolutely.
Would you like to ask her a gardening question?
Yes, I'd love to. It's on behalf of my grandson, and he lives in Dayton.
Aww.
So I've sent you a couple of pictures of lily pillies he planted.
Oh, yes.
He bought them at a nursery, not the Big Reed Shed.
Yeah.
And one's Cherry Bomb and the other's Resilience.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which one's the one that looks like a death door.
Yeah. The good thing is, Sandy, it's not dead. It's not happy. I would say, but it's not dead.
I think it's manic and depressed.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. He's having a bit of a sulk. I can see that he has improved the soil. So what I want, well, either you to do or supervise him so he can do it, is prune off all the dry...
He makes directions well.
Oh, good. Excellent. Prune off all those dry, brown, dead-looking bits.
Mm-hmm.
Get some wetting agent and get some clay. You can buy clay in a bucket or a bag and just mix. So get a quarter of a bag of clay and half a bag of compost, mix it together, wetting agent. Dig that in around the root system, prune it back and then heavily water it and it will come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much on his behalf and on mine.
Thank you, Sandy.
We love you too. Thanks, Sandy. Ross is in – but no, not Ross, Bess. Bess is in Bonnyfield. Hi, Bess. What's your question for Sab?
Hi, ladies. I'm very excited about you being here. You've made my Anzac Day.
Where is Bonnyfield, Bess?
You asked Beth.
Beth.
You asked me this before.
Have I?
Dongra.
Oh, that's right. I have too. You're that, Beth. Yes. Right.
Ooh,
okay.
Beth.
I've been trying to propagate various things from old man salt bush to lavender to rosemary.
Yeah.
I'm just not really having any luck. I'm using rooting powder.
Yeah.
And I'm covering them with a plastic bag.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long. And I don't know if I'm overwatering them, so I take it off occasionally, but I've only been putting it on for 2 or 3 days. The last lot I've got there, they've been there for probably a week.
Right.
Under the bag.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure if I've got the soil mix right or I should be covering them for that long or how much I should be watering them, please.
Okay. So now, for a start, don't water with a watering can. You have to mist water. Otherwise, they get too wet and the little roots that are developing rot. So it could be that you're overwatering, Beth. So if you've got the cuttings, so the cuttings are usually about 12 centimetres long. When you cover them, during the day, you need to just have the cover on for half a day and then you keep them covered at night. But they do need a period of time where you actually take the cover off for a couple of hours just so that you don't get too much build-up of dew and humidity. But covering them is very important because you don't get, you don't get moisture loss through the leaf. But I think what's happening is you might be overwatering them, Beth.
And what about the soil type?
It needs to be really, really, really porous and free draining. So you can get potting mix and mix it with either coir, the coir fibre, or vermiculite or perlite. So only 50%. So the people that make their own potting mix for propagation have 2/3 sharp sand and then 1/3 of the cocoa peat, cocoa fibre, coconut fibre.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Thanks,
Thank you
Beth.
For that, Beth. Tim is in Bridgerton. I've decided to rename Bridgetown.
Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
Sir Lord Tim.
Hello,
Sabrina. Lord Timothy.
Well, hello, Mr. Hello. Lord Timothy.
Yes. Lady Harn of the Hacker.
Yes, Lady Harn of the Harlot Grandmother.
Harlot's a bit harsh.
I know, it is a bit harsh.
Yeah. She's a goer. Tim, what's your question for Sab?
Oh, no, I've got a pretty simple question all that.
Yeah?
I've got three beautiful old Camellia japonicas.
Yes.
The trunks are probably about 30 centimetres in diameter. They're about 4 metres high.
Oh, how beautiful.
And they sort of face east.
Yep.
And they're protected by the house from the western sun.
Yep.
But they're getting really tall, and they're getting into the gutters, and actually the possums. The possums are getting up the camellias and into the roof. So
well, possums always appreciate a nice garden, I always say. So if they've picked your house, you know that you have a nice garden, Lord Tim. Now, can you prune camellias? You most definitely can. Don't prune them now if you can avoid it, because you're going to prune off all the flowers.
Yes.
So can you wait until after flowering?
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
It's sort of starting to bud now. So we can wait.
And that's always the best time to prune camellias anyway, is immediately after flowering, because that's when they get their big flush. So you can easily take a third off. Because those camellias are quite old, Tim, don't go too hard.
No.
Take a third off. If there's any, you can also thin them out a little bit if they're really crowded in the middle.
A bit like
the contents of my guts, really. Keeps getting crowded in the middle. So you can definitely prune them.
About a third, they've been pruned many years ago and then just shot right up.
Yeah, that's right. And they... They'll come back. It won't affect them at all. You'll probably get better flowering the next year.
Oh, excellent. All right. Oh, that's great.
That's your job for today, Lord Tim. Or you might get one of your servants to do it for you. Being in Bridgerton.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Sab, yesterday I did Arvos and I had comedian Geraldine Hickey on, and her new show is called A Weight Off My Chest. She's had... a full breast reduction. Both of them out of there.
Oh, wow.
She just didn't want them anymore, which is entirely fair.
I can understand that.
So I had a lot to contribute to that conversation, because I too have had similar surgery. And I said it was more of a de-lengthening in my situation. And some wag texted in and said, was it like Sabrina, did you prune off a third? I think I pruned off about three quarters anyway. You pervade all areas of my life, Sabrina Hahn. George is in Shenton Park with a pest problem. Hello, George. I know how you feel.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Hello, George.
Big fan, Sabrina. Long time listener. First time caller. Mine might be a bit boring, unfortunately, but
nothing in the garden is ever boring, George.
Never.
There's a lot of sex goes on in a garden, you know. Insects banging away.
Yeah, true. That's probably happening on my balcony, actually, because I have about 1 billion whitefly. I've kind of been living with it. Like they've kind of been living with. They've kind of been my housemates. Really, I've gotten used to having them around because they're all over my basil and my tomatoes.
Right. Okay.
I've tried the chili and garlic spray. I've tried. Detergent spray. I've tried pyrethrum spray.
Yep.
And nothing seems to work. But they also don't seem to be kind of doing much in terms of degrading, like, the health of the plants. But they're not thriving
They're just congregating. They're having a bit of a powwow on your balcony there, George. Now, what I would suggest is that you get some predators that are going to suck them while they're breathing and suck all their juices out.
Nice. Love
So there are ladybird larvae you can get. So you can buy bugs for bugs.
That's so cool. I've used the beneficial insect seed mix before.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I want you to get the actual bug.
Cool.
So it sounds to me like they've got a good food source. So the smorgasbord is open for them. So you purchase them, they send them over in a little tiny vial, and then you release them, and then they just chow down on the white fly while they're still alive and just eat them alive. Or you get assassin bugs, which drive an enzyme which makes all their bodily fluids fluid, and then on the other side they suck it up with a straw. That's fascinating to watch under a big lens. Great.
You know what I'm watching on YouTube tonight.
So George, if you go and have a look, if you just type in something like bugs for bugs, you'll be spoilt for choice to get predators in there, and they will clean them up for you. No spraying required.
Okay, cool. That's great. So that's worth trying. Going into the winter season as well, they'll probably stick around.
Now, the reason that the white fly are up there, so a lot of insects and indeed a lot of animals will go into what's called a winter dormancy, and so they'll congregate. Like ladybirds, I got a letter from a lady who had hundreds and hundreds of ladybirds nesting on her windowsill in the sun because they don't like the cold, so they send off a pheromone to all their friends saying, come on here, that's what your white fly doing, George. Come on here, look, this is great. So it's quite normal to get congregations of insects in a change of season because they want somewhere nice and cosy.
Okay, brilliant. Yep. Thanks so much for that.
Okay, thank you, George. My bats are coming in now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my little micro bats, they come in the winter. They come in because we've got open eaves, and then they just come down the lounge room wall. I can hear them come in at night time, and then they just stay there for the winter. It's so cute.
They don't flap around your head at night?
No, they don't. They want to be in the dark. That's why they go down the wall.
We're talking inside the house?
Yeah.
A bat?
Lots, still quite a few bats. They're only tiny. They're the micro bats. They're teeny weeny.
Yeah, but they flap around your head.
No, they don't. No, they stay in the wall.
I knew a woman who had a bat clamp onto her face.
Oh.
No, I laughed as well. But it's like, I don't want to live in a house where there's ever the possibility that a bat, no matter how big or small.
We don't have fruit bats here. Well, we do.
But even
north.
A micro bat, like my nose is kind of micro bat size.
Oh, they're so cute. Honestly, I went into a house that was up for, you know, Airbnb, walked in the house, and there I reckon there would have been 10 bats inside, walked into the lounge room, and they said,
so you'd pay more for that privilege, wouldn't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I was so excited.
So excited. If we were flatmates, we probably would have hated each other back in the day. Josh is in the G. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Josh in the G.
G'day. How are you?
Very well. We've had a little bit of excitement in the G over the last week, haven't we, with, you know, sirens going up and down chasing people, and it's always fun in the G.
Yeah, it's normal. I like to sit out on the deck out front and just watch it all unfold. It's quite...
Quan is running rampant.
Anyway, I still love the G regardless.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And what can we do for you, Josh?
I got a KP tango, Kensington Pride. Had a good fruiting season. It's been in the ground about 3 or 4 years. But then now it's starting to show a lot of deficiency, and there's some black, like, spots on, like, some of the stems, and there's, like, little white mottling and stuff all over it. Just say dieback.
No, it's not dieback. It could be something like anthracnose, alternaria, something like that. So it could be a fungal disease, Josh. And yeah, you need to spray it now before winter sets in.
Are you allowed to say what to spray it with?
No, rhymes but with?
if you stay on air,
stay on the line.
On the line, and we hand you back to beautiful Mickey, who's in the studio.
Yep.
And because you're a fellow G-ite, I will. I'll give you a ring.
Ooh. Oh,
and I'll actually drive past your place and check out your mango tree.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, if you'd like. Yeah, definitely. Yep. We're not hard to miss.
Good. Okay. Don't give your address out, please, Josh.
No, I'll pop. No. Josh, I'm gonna pop you back. I'm gonna pop you back to Mickey. There you go. And who have we got next? We have. Oh no! Don't do that.
Oh, we've got a calculator.
We've got a calculator. We've got Peter from Helena Valley. Morning, Pete.
Morning, girls.
Peter, you're in a bucket. Peter, you're in a bucket. Are you on headphones or speakerphone or something?
I'm just on speakerphone.
Are you able to come off speakerphone?
Oh, hang on, geez.
Well, technology at its finest there, Peter.
Is that better?
Yep. That's so much better. Thank you.
Perfect.
Hang on. Now I can't hear you. Hang on.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, here we go.
Yeah, no, we're good. Can you hear us, Peter?
I'm recording this anyway.
Okay.
The weeds that are coming through now, something come through.
Yeah.
Is it better to spray them like
when they're
early
young
days?
Yes.
To get a bit of
No. You hit them when they're young, Peter.
Okay.
Yep. Get onto them now. Yep.
Is where I don't spray because it's the garden more so.
Yes.
Can I mulch straight over the weeds?
Yep, you certainly can. So what I suggest to people is you put down, you can buy Coya peat matting, and then you mulch over the top of the matting, and the matting breaks down after about 12 months, but it completely suffocates the weeds.
Okay, no worries. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. And if you Bye. Can't get Coya peat, Peter, Peter, just use a newspaper, thick newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Does the same thing and mulch on top of that.
Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Peter.
Deb is in Hammy Hill. Hi, Deb.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Sabrina, I live in Hammy Hill and I have a big corner block and we have a front verge that we, over about 20 years, have tried really hard to plant up with natives.
Yeah.
And at this time of year, the sour grass starts to really try to outcompete my baby natives.
Yeah.
And there's just no way I can dig out all those little white bulbs.
No.
Please, what can I spray it with? I'm done with the sour grass.
Yeah. Mine comes up on the front verge every year as well, Deb.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a pelargonic acid spray that you can use.
Yep.
And if you spray it with that when they're emerging, it actually burns the hell out of them. You know, if you pull them up, all the little bulbils that are attached to it stay in the ground and you get twice as many next year.
Yes.
So don't be tempted to pull them up. So spray the weed. It's a weed killer, but it's not. It doesn't have glyphosate in it. It's not a herbicide, but it just burns and sizzles them down to ground level.
Okay, so it won't kill any of my beautiful worm-filled soil.
No.
Great.
No.
Great.
Not at all.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
That's
no worries. Thanks, Deb.
Bye. It is time for Sabrina's pick. She's waiting for me to play the intro. I've lost it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so that's all right. It's this. So it is Anzac Day, and I have to tell you, I always, because my brother always rings me because he goes to the dawn service and we always have a chat about Dad.
Yes.
So my dad joined up at 18 and went through the whole war and got injured, captured, all sorts of stuff. And so I always wake up on Anzac Day with a deep, deep feeling of sorrow. And the thing I remember my dad, when I was probably about 8, was asking him about the war. And he said, when I was 18, I had to learn to kill other 18-year-old boys that were just like me but came from a different country. And it stayed with me my entire life. And I just think war is such a terrible, wasteful thing. And I always feel deep sorrow. And for all the wars that are happening now. So today's pick is called Be Kind to Each Other by Olivia Dean.
Olivia Dean there, Be Kind to Each Other, Sab's pick for today. And also her reflection, I think it's the only appropriate way to feel on a day like today, deep sorrow.
Why wait for the replay? Every Eagles game is live on ABC Sport. Can West Coast beat the Saints on Sunday? All the action from 11 on 102.5 ABC Perth, ABC WA, Sport Digital and ABC Listen.
It is Roots and Shoots here on ABC 102.5.
Did you forget where you were there for a minute?
Could you tell? You know Simone Biles, the gymnast, the Olympic
gymnast?
She pulled out because she started to forget where she was in time and space. And I've got to say, I know how she feels. I don't know how it feels to be an elite athlete, but I know how it feels to just go, what am I doing? Where am I?
I do that all the time. You know when you go into a room to do something and you can't remember what it was and then you have to leave the room, go back where you came from to remember why you went into the room.
I go into a sentence not remembering where I was. Lynn is from just past Wanneroo. That's an interesting suburb.
It is. Just past Wanneroo, Lynn.
JPW. Oh. John Paul Wong.
Good morning, my loves. Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, congratulations.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And yes, not only be kind to each other, but to ourselves.
Yes.
True. Very important.
Very true.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought while I was listening to everybody's conversation. Yahoo. Can't wait till I go completely senile.
Completely gaga.
Oh, I know. And before I get to the thingo, look, I love yous dudes and talking about using your bra for putting chickies in and everything. I call my bra my glove box because everything goes in there. And I love the bats in the walls. I love the critters. People don't take enough notice of them and they're so fulfilling.
We've got bats in our belfry as well, haven't we, Lynn?
Hang on. Oh, I've got room to let. They can roost in my room.
I'll let them know, Lynn, that you just passed Wanneroo.
You are a delight.
They'll keep an eye out for you.
Yes, pass them over. I did float my boat. Anyway, while I waste your time and everybody else's.
Have you remembered what you rang for?
Oh, yeah, I got the ticket in front of me now.
Okay, good.
Eremophila.
Yeah.
Spring mist.
Yeah.
I got a spot. We're only on a postage stamp, and I know it grows. That's all right. I've been pruning it up so it doesn't cranky when I cut it.
Yeah.
It gets probably sun for half the day.
Yeah.
But it's as hot as Hades out there. It's a very unforgiving little spot here.
Yeah.
I'm going to prep the soil today or tomorrow.
Yep.
Probably tomorrow because my brain's left me. but there's a tree that shades it a bit.
Yeah, that's all right. As long as it gets, will it get 4 hours of hot blazing sun?
Yeah, mayhab, but it sure does get the heat even when the sun's not there. It's a shocking little spot.
Well, give it a try, Lynn. Now, when you say you're going to... So if it starts losing a lot of the foliage, it's not getting enough sun. So once it starts dropping leaves, you go, ooh, it's not the place for you, little one. We'll move you somewhere else.
So I'll leave it in the pot.
Yeah, leave it in the pot. Yeah.
And I'll leave it in the pot.
And see how it goes.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, if you are going to put it in the ground, Lynn, it's an Eremophila and they don't – so just put it in with a bit of compost and native slow-release fertiliser.
Yep. Yep. So no cow poo.
No.
There for 6 weeks or anything.
No, because it's an Eremophila and they like to play rough and tough.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. Yeah, I'll be happy. Yeah,
and don't overwater it.
Okay.
So once a fortnight watering.
Don't lose your marbles in your glove box.
Too late.
Lynn, thanks for making us laugh and for tuning in and for calling for the first time. That was absolutely brilliant.
Bye, my loves.
Bye, Lynn.
Bruce is in Albany. Hello, Bruce.
Oh, hello. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Bruce. What's going on with your pear?
I've got a Bartley and a Bobosk, and they've been in the same spot for 18 years.
Yeah.
And the... Bartlett this year has fruited well, but the top quarter with the neck of the pear has gone soft. And I don't know whether it's because I had a little bit of fly in it. I'm not sure what's causing that top.
It could certainly be that, but it could also be a fungal disease, Bruce. So when you finish harvesting the pears, I want you to give it a copper-based spray and then I want you to do it again, give it another copper-based spray halfway through its flowering.
Okay, halfway through flowering.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Now, it's next to a Bartlett, and the Bartlett, I had a couple of fruits on it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not Bartlett, Burbosk.
Oh, Burbosk, yeah.
Yeah, and this year I had no fruit whatsoever. I mean, both these pears took ages to fruit. But
yeah. Burbosk likes you're in Albany, because they do like a higher chill factor. Right. And I think climate's playing havoc with a lot of our fruit trees. So it could be to do with that, because they do require a colder, fairly cold winter.
Can you put ice around the base of the tree?
You can, and what most people do is they get like a 2-litre orange juice container and they freeze a few of those and then they put that around the base of the tree.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It takes much longer to melt. But the thing is, Bruce, you're going to have to do that for 3 weeks consecutive nights.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
It does, doesn't it? I'm pleased to see you're a man that's willing to take the challenge.
And do you want to hear a tip story?
Yes.
Years ago, my dad went to the tip and he always brought home more than he took. But one day, he brought home a baby lamb.
Oh! Not to eat, I hope.
No, well, it's my pet sheep. And I called it Wooly.
That's
so lovely.
That's so gorgeous. Something you wouldn't expect to come back from a tip run with.
I think we know our community, Bruce. Thank you for that. What a delightful story. We know our community is made up of people who find more at the tip than they leave and whose ancestors were questionable at best. Debbie, do you come from any rapscallions or scoundrels?
Oh, I'm sure I do.
Or are you the rapscallion?
Oh, you might be.
Not that I'm going to admit to.
Okay. Not until you have your counsel on the line. What's your question for Sab?
I've got a little problem. I'm in Dalyella, so I'm sure Sab knows
that. I know where
area.
It is, yep.
What a gorgeous place it is to try and grow plants in.
Yes.
I have a front garden which faces onto the road, so it faces south and it gets lovely strong westerly winds and all that, but I don't know that that's my problem. The one half of it, everything I plant in it just seems to die, so whether it be grevilleas, banksias, proteas, hakeas, wedding bush, so they'll go along and for maybe a year or two looking good and then they just die,
right?
So whereas the rest of the garden, the plants thriving. Are still thriving. So yeah. I don't know whether...
I would get a soil test done.
Okay, so now that's going to be my... And that's what I wanted to do, but I messaged the... emailed the ag department and they said, you can't do a soil test.
You need a root. You need the root system. So you need both.
So where do I send it to?
Okay, so I can't give you the name of companies, Debbie, but if you Google, there's quite a few companies that test for Phytophthora, for Pythium, for other fungal diseases. Now, if for Phytophthora, you need to get the root system plus the soil of the plant, because what they do is they keep the root system in a petri dish and they see if the Phytophthora develops. That's why you need that. So the soil test.
Yeah. I was going to say, does it matter if the plant's already dead? Should I do that as it's dying?
I would do it as it's dying. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Good.
You have to specify what you want them to check for. So, I would definitely be checking for Phytophthora. And Dalyell up there was a lot of soil that was moved around. So
definitely, yes, yeah. We have some of that. Yep.
Yeah. So I would get that would be my first point of call before anything else.
Okay. Yeah. Because the ag department just said send they need plant sample.
Yeah.
Oh no, but it has to go to Murdoch and it's very expensive.
Yeah, But there's other companies that do it that it's not.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's quite a few, soil companies that will test specifically for Phytophthora.
Oh, okay. Mm. So and then my husband's screaming at me if we sprayed the whole area with. The thing that starts with M. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
That won't work for dieback.
Don't do that then.
So you actually need the phosphoric acid. The thing that starts with M doesn't have that.
Okay.
So.
All right then. Okay, so all right. So I have to wait because unfortunately I've put all my dead ones in the bin and they've all gone. So now
well,
I
just
wait
for plant some plants you don't like, put them in and wait for them to die or start dying and then you go, see, I told you I didn't like
there
you in the first place.
Thank you very much, Deb. Amanda is from South Yandera.
Hello. Not my real name because I have a family secret.
Do tell, Amanda, well, in disguise.
Shall I ask you about, well, we do have some plants of my mother's in South Yandera.
Did you steal them?
Is that the secret? No. So I'll tell you about the secret then. I'll ask you the question about plants.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So the secret in our family is that my grandfather, he was a US airman, and my grandmother had a liaison with him.
Ooh, and lots of women did because they're after the stockings.
Well, I guess in 43, and then of course one of my parents. Then became the child, the love child, and we never, ever, none of us met him.
Oh, really?
Oh, what a dirty dog.
I know, my grandmother, naughty girl she was, but those days it was all about shame, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so much shame,
exactly
this is what
right.
I, you know, bring it out
now
into the light.
I go, good on you, Grandma.
On your granny.
In there.
Hey,
yeah,
would you ever do one of those DNA tests maybe?
I'm thinking I would. Ooh. I'd love to. But, you know, my grandmother was actually a pianist too and she used to entertain, shall we say. And I still have that very piano that has cigarette burns on the side.
Wow.
And do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking one of them may have been his.
Oh, absolutely.
She sounds like a ripper chick. Played piano.
She was a ripper chick.
Yeah. Loved a ciggy. Got it on with the boys. Oh.
She went for, I don't know, I've got to get this right now, about 93. And we've only lost her, you know, about 5 years ago. So I love spending time with her.
Yeah.
We have five generations, right? And I'm like, you strong old bird, you've been through the whole your whole life, and you won't tell.
She got knocked up and then she got married, or did she get knocked up in the middle of another marriage?
What? No.
Oh, she didn't marry?
Never married.
No, what a shameful.
And it was just like such a shame. The family was trying to hide it. The family was trying to adopt the child. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, you people. You know, we wouldn't do that now, right?
She hung on to that child. She was like, you are not taking my baby away from me.
Correct.
What a woman.
I know, how beautiful.
Good on her.
Great woman.
And so that was your dad or your mum?
So what's your plant question, Amanda?
Ah, so the plant question that lives in South Yundarup is a lime tree. It's in a plastic pot, and I'm always a bit wary of should we not have it there, but it's north facing, it's at the front of the house, so it probably gets a bit of sun off the brick, right? My thought.
Yeah.
It is so watered so heavily because my mother loves to water things a lot.
Okay, yeah.
It lived over in Pinjarra in a different location, and it looked nice and green, but it's never got decent-sized limes. It's tiny little, my God, it's big are they? Like a big marble almost.
Oh.
And, you know, and then they go yellow and they never get any bigger.
I think it's reverting back to its grandmother or great-grandmother. No. Great-great-grandmother.
Well, rootstock has just become a euphemism, hasn't it?
Oh, Sabrina, I love you.
I think it's concentrating more on the root than anything else, Amanda.
I think it is.
In all honesty, it sounds to me like it's reverting back. So you're never going to get. Anyway, give it a really good prune. Make sure the pot, drill some holes in the bottom of the pot. Make sure it's up off the ground, because it could be that it's just sodden down the bottom, the soil sodden down the bottom of the pot. So do that first and then see how that goes. Give it a good feed. If it still has little lemons.
Amanda, thank you for that and for sharing your brilliant story with us here on Roots and Shoots. Sandra is in Scarborough. Hello, are you a Sandra or a Sandra?
Oh, either, or Sandy, whatever you like.
We'll call you Sandy because you're in Scarborough.
We call you Sandy Soil.
That's what you grow
Sandy
on.
Sandy from Scarborough.
Yep.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Amber. So our problem is a verge tree. The council planted a few years ago the peppermint Agonis flexuosa.
Yeah.
After a couple of years, it carked it.
Yep.
But quite a few peppermints have died around this area, I've noticed, smaller ones. And then we put one in ourselves. They were both, you know, really well watered and looked after.
Yep.
That died. Then we put in the After Dark variety.
Oh, they're
and
useless.
That just died.
That's a useless breed of Agonis.
So we could go rogue and not put in the peppermint, which is what the council wants. We really like the Poinciana, but I think that would be too slow and not survive here.
They're not slow at all. Sandy.
Oh, are they?
Oh, no, they are fast. And it would grow there.
Some sort of native.
I wouldn't be putting peppies back in there. I think, you know, if they've all died, there's either borer around, not necessarily the shot hole borer, but they get longicorn beetle borer. That the soil's got Phytophthora in it, and then you're going to have to inject the trees for dieback all the time. There's a tree called Melaleuca viridiflora that I think is one of the best verge trees. It's so beautiful, has bright red flowers, flowers twice a year, bees, birds, everything love it. It's tough as old boots.
Yep.
It's a beautiful Melaleuca.
It was a Melaleuca what?
Viridiflora, V-I-R-I-D. IFLORA.
Okay, lovely. Yep.
Yep. So I'd put that in instead.
In preference to a poinciana? Probably better to go native.
Yeah, I would go. I'd go native. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, and we might not use that same hole because
no, move the hole, move your sandy hole, Sandy.
Oh no! Thank you for that, Sandy. This text has come in from Janine. Delightful. Yes. Thought you ladies might enjoy my text this morning to a family group chat. She said in her group chat, "I have planted everlastings in and around the rockery, so when little green shoots come up and they are not weeds, and please do not spray them. Some will be planted in the driveway. Also, you have she's talking to us now. You have spoken about pruning dangers of husbands, but when you're on a farm and have husbands and adult sons and farmers are idle or need to pull up or a piece of machinery has an injury and the part is not here, elements of your garden are in peril. My lovely crop of everlastings at my driveway was shut down last year at the first tinge of green. Today, I have planted everlastings in and around our newly established rockery, and previous attempts in our other parts of the farm have ended in peril. The text will be followed up with stern words and eye contact with each of my farmers. They have been warned. Love the show. As I'm pottering south, crediting your words about your dad, so poignant, Sab. My opa was a POW in Germany, then a post-war migrant. We are all built on the sacrifice of others, says Janine. Thank you for that delightful
text.
Thank
you, Janine.
So men who poison too much can sit next to the men who prune too much. At the back of the class.
Yep.
Karen is in Sawyers Valley. Hi, Karen. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, hi. Just a quick one. I've got these little black aphids in the middle of all my strawberry plants that are in pots, and I've tried to get rid of the ants that are around them, but
what you can do is, are they in like small pots or really big pots?
Smallish pots, sort of medium pots, yeah.
Okay, so you can fill up a bucket with really warm water and submerge the entire plant in the warm water, and it kills the aphids. Mm-hmm. And it also kills – aphids give birth to live aphids. Did you know that?
Did not know.
Spit them out and they're all female. Spit those babies out.
Where
out they
come.
Pop, 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 pop. They don't need boys.
What they just? What do you call that?
They do it all themselves.
Is it a hermaphrodite or something?
No, that's if you have male and you can be male or female and you can switch like frogs and toads. They do that.
How would I keep them away then?
So you can either do that. You can use a pyrethrum spray, which knocks them off. But you've got to look at the life cycle of aphids, and so you're going to have to do 3 repeat sprays 1 week apart.
Right.
And that'll drop the population. Or you get ladybird larvae, and they will eat around 60 a day.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So ladybirds are good, and you can buy ladybird larvae.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Very good. Thank you for that, Karen. Matt is in Bull Creek. Hi, Matt. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, hi, ladies. I planted a...
Oh, where'd he go?
Oh, no, he hung up. He's got a jujube tree.
Right.
That started off doing really well for about 4 or 5 months ago. Now the leaves are brown and curling. He says he fears he may have overwatered.
Yeah, jujube like it hot, dry and hostile.
Okay.
So it'd be like taking me
Matt
out on a
back.
Date.
Ooh.
Oh, is he back? Matthew.
That's not Matt. It's his voicemail. Okay, we can talk to Joanna now. Joanna is in the loo of Mulla. Good morning, Joanna.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Joanna. In Mulla Mulla.
Mulla Loo.
Yep.
We've got a Banksia, which we've had about 3 years or so.
Yep.
And it's been really happy and doubled in size, and now it's been dropping all its leaves
and going a bit brown there on the edges by the look of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so which Banksia is it? I can't sort of tell by
Grandis.
Oh, Banksia grandis. Okay. So I would say it's the soil type because it'll be quite alkaline. Now, what you can do is give it some trace elements.
Okay.
So water those in well. You can also add a little bit of sulfur to the soil to try and drop the pH. I want you to go and get a pH soil testing kit. Test the pH of the soil. I think you'll find it's really alkaline.
Okay.
And the grandis, yeah, prefers a heavier soil. So go and get some clay, Joanna.
Clay,
and
okay,
just,
yep.
And dig that into the soil. You only need like a quarter of a bucket of clay. Dig it in around the base, get some trace elements, mix them in a watering can and put that around the base, or better, trace elements in a foliar spray form.
Foliar. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
And that should do the trick.
So it's salvageable.
Yes, definitely. Okay. There's enough life in it to be able to salvage it.
Beautiful.
Okay, cool.
Who
great.
Is that man's
thank you
voice
so much.
Just came? Thanks.
Thanks, Joanna.
Just a real quick one. I've just taken out a peppermint tree with borer. Any suggestions for a replacement? Front garden, windy position, facing west.
Facing west, I'd put in that Melaleuca viridiflora. It's a cracker of a tree. Or I'd put in Eucalyptus toddtiana.
Toddtiana.
Mm.
And what was the first one?
Melaleuca viridiflora.
So it means it's got green leaves.
Yeah.
Or green flowers.
It's got green stamens.
This has been the Anzac Day edition of Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham. Freo Cookster has just sent a photograph in of his great-granddad's headstone. He says he was one of the first to land at Gallipoli, and excuse the fake poppies, love the show. We love you too, Freo Cookster. Great-granddad died aged just 54 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's been it from us. We'll be back again next week. Will you be back again
next week?
Again next week. The Sporty Boys and their Sporty Balls are waiting in the wings. We've got to hustle on out of here. Thanks for sticking with us. It is 10 o'clock.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.